Teacher's back. Good. We've had to jostle around a little bit with some help with some music with Carl and Randy. And I don't know what we did. One morning we didn't even have music, I don't think. I think we did something different. So, yeah, it was good. By the look of your faces, looked like some of you are refreshed. You got an extra hour. It isn't like the springtime service when everybody comes in all droggy because you lose an hour. I just wish we'd just leave it the same. But that's just me. Yeah, I would do that.
I've been back probably, when TB left, I think he left, his last week was in August, so full month of September, full month of October, so about 2.5 months, I think I had the last week, almost 2.5 months I've been back as the pastor again here, so it's been feeling really good, but I'm coming up with the same issues I had the last time. Can you believe that? I got some of the same issues I had the last time. So I've talked to my executive board, and they said, you know, whatever I thought I needed to do, and so I want to do something this morning. I've talked to him, and so Randy was the associate pastor. Randy is over in Columbia City now. And by the way, I did receive a couple of texts. You might have saw him on Facebook. I've been kind of leaning away from Facebook for a while just to get the breather, but he is back. Him and Beth are back from Cuba. So they had some great stories that they'll share, and hopefully we can get them here on a Sunday night to share, because on Sunday mornings he's over in Columbia City, which is where he is this morning. So he was excited to be there, and Dan, he did ask about how it went with you, and I said it went good. So what I want to do today is I want to put in another position of the associate pastor. I've been working with Dan for a while. I've seen Dan, how he worked under TB. And so I want to use Dan as one of the associate pastors here. And a church this size usually doesn't need an associate pastor. But with our ministries, where a lot of my heart is, and I'll talk a little bit today, but a lot of where I put a lot of time in. I just put a lot of time in that. And so it takes me away. It takes me away a little bit from the other parts that I should do as a pastor for you. So I do appreciate that, but I do need help with that. Keeping people corralled in and out and keeping in contact and those things. So today we're going to put Brother Dan in as associate pastor here. And I've talked to some of you as leaders, and it all goes well. And so as today, I want to do that, and I want to bring him down. I want us to pray. So if you're a leader, I'm going to ask you to come down. I'm going to ask them to come down. So Dan, and also it takes two to do that. When you're married, you're one. Two together, two come together as one. So that becomes them as one. So I want to go ahead and pray over them. So if you're a leader, I need you to step up, come down here, pray with them. I'm going to put they're going to be a helping leader for you. He's doing a lot of the things already that an associate pastor does. But there's times, I know in February, there's some places and things I need to do to keep up with these ministries, and I need to continue to flow that way. So I don't want to be stopped in what God's called us to do. So, and your goal is to pray for him as he prays for you. So I do believe that that this couple here does pray for you on a continuous basis. So I can hear somebody. You coming up? Okay. Good for you. All right. So my question is this. Usually I've been kind of doing this in different things. So Dan, you're going to serve these people as God wants you to serve them, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. Indeed, you're going to follow Dan? You're
going to
serve the best you can. All right. So they're going to serve the best that they can for you. So pray for them. And we're going to pray for them now. And we just ask you to be in agreement of that. Father, Lord, we just ask, Lord, that your presence continue to be upon Dan and Dee, Lord. As they are a married couple, we pray, Father, you continue to have your spirit. They have like-minded spirit together. Pray, Father, for a blessing to continue to bless their marriage. Father, as they step out in this role as associate pastor, Lord, I pray, Father, for Dan, that you just continue to give him the insight, Lord, that you do. I pray, Father, Lord, the spiritual gifts that you've given to him, Lord, that you would sharpen those in his heart and those, Lord, that he doesn't have. Lord, I pray, Father, you just give him understanding to know that we all do have weaknesses from time to time, but that we need to learn to lean on each other. May he have a heart like yours, Lord, that will love people, Lord, that don't look like him, that don't act like him. I pray, Father, Lord, that he'll take this role, Lord, and take it to heart and lead as he should. And I pray, Father, Lord, when this church hurts, Lord, his heart hurts. And when this church is joyful, Lord, he can rejoice in it as well. I pray, Father, he'll continue to be faithful as he is to you and to this church. And we ask it, We thank you, Lord, for the gift of pastor. We thank you for the gifts that you've given to us as men and women, Lord, that we might be able to do the works that you called us to do. And we couldn't do it without you, Lord, and there's no reason we would or could, because it is all your work. And we ask a blessing upon him indeed today. For it's in Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, brother. Well, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in 1 Samuel today in chapter 15, and we're going to roll in there a little bit. I'm going to give you a little prelude of a little bit what's going on with Saul. We're going to talk about Saul today. We're going to talk about a man that God called to be a king and what God's called him to do. We're going to talk a little bit of, we're going to roll into that this morning. Some of us are called to do different things. Some of us are called, some churches are called, and God's given them a vision to do different things. There's the mission, I believe, is still what Jesus has, and the Great Commission, and going out and making disciples of all the world and baptizing them, and the churches be growing, but people be growing. And I believe that God has called us to go out, and the Great Commission is to seek the lost, share the gospel, and those who become Christians, that they become discipled. But also know that when we get and we grow up in our walk with Jesus, that God begins to use us individually for things that he's called us to do, and also corporately in our churches that he has called us to do. So vision is a very big piece, at least I know it is in my heart. Vision is a piece that man-made vision is nothing compared to what God, for God's vision. God's visions are amazing. God's vision, to me, is always bigger than what a man can do. A man's vision is what he usually can do, but God's vision is always bigger than what a man can do, and it always seems many times to be an impossible task. I think God had a vision for Noah to build an ark, and it seemed like an impossible task. God had a vision for one man to reach a city called Nineveh. Couldn't think it could be done, and he did, and that seemed to be an impossible task. For Jesus to come into this world, to men, it looked like an impossible task, but it was not to God. And there are people in your own life that have come to know Christ, and even if you look in the mirror, you might say that you might be one of those people that you never thought you could have a relationship with God, that you would never, you thought you never thought that that uncle, or your grandfather, whoever it may be, will come to know Christ and have salvation. God can do the works that we cannot. Okay? And I think he's still the same God then as he is today. I know we get a little bit fearful of God, but we need to be focused. And so today I want to talk to you about a time when a man was rejected by God. And so we're going to come to this place here that the men, the people, God's people were crying out and they wanted to have a king. And God told them, these are things that will happen if you want a king. You don't need a king. And the people begged for it and God gave them a king. And his name was Saul. And so King Saul went out and did some things. And many times God would always give a message. He'd always give instructions. He did it all the way back from the leading, all the way back he gave instruction. But there were times when he would continue to deal with the same people, but the instructions were different in different times. They were different. It didn't have to be logical. It didn't have to be what that person thought, but God would say many times when Joshua would go into the promised land, when you go into this town, I want you to do this. I want you to go in and I want you to take care of business and I don't want you to leave anything there. I want you to just destroy everything, everything from top to bottom. There were times when God would say, when you go in, do everything I'm telling you to do, but the plunder is yours. And there would be times when he'd say, now listen, you're not to attack this city, you're to go around this city. And all it is, it continues to be about listening and obeying the Lord. Okay? Because when we, so God gives us those instructions for us to continue to stay close to him. Sometimes we wrestle in our relationship with God and we look at it negatively, but sometimes God allows us to wrestle because it keeps us close to God, okay? I'm not talking about, so I want to go into chapter 15 this morning, and God gives Samuel, and Samuel speaks, and Samuel's the prophet, and he gives Saul a message. When you go in here, I want you to take care of everything. I want you to destroy everything. Now, I know many people say, when you start reading the instructions here, you go, wow, God is a very mean God. He's an angry God. Why would I want to serve a God that turns around and tells the people to destroy families and to destroy children and to destroy animals and all that? And people get angry and they want to know, why would a God do that? Why would God do that? The question isn't why would God do that. The question is why the people, they would always seem to be, and God would say this, they are evil. They were evil in God's sight. And always be that these people would be an evil people. And people say, well, how can kids be evil? Well, when evil people have babies, they raise up evil people. And God is the judge of things. We are not. We continue to say, I say this all the time, we continue to try to put our head at the level of God, and it doesn't work. Quit trying to think for God. Quit trying to think that you can think for God. You cannot. I cannot. I can't. We cannot fathom. Okay? We cannot fathom it. We cannot understand it. Okay? But these were communities of sin that would just breed sin and continue to do more and more. But God told the prophet told the king, this is what you do. And I want to tell you that Saul didn't do that. Saul went in and he didn't do that. He went in and he destroyed, but he also brought the king back, and he also kept all the good animals and the good cattle and the good sheep. So he didn't listen. And we're going to pick it up in verse 10. It says, then the word of the Lord came to Samuel. I am grieved that I have made Saul king, because he has turned away from me and has not carried out my instructions. Samuel was troubled, and he cried out to the Lord all that night. I want to remind you that there are people that are praying for you when you don't know it. There are people that are praying for this place that you will never meet. And I have met many of those people down in the South when I would go on a so-called fundraiser run or whatever it may be, which I'm hoping to do because I haven't been there in a couple of years in places. And when you don't do that for a couple of years, you lose them. And we've lost a couple because I have not kept that connection as strong as I should have. But people are praying for you. I know in Florida there is a prayer team that all I have to do is call for any problem that's going on here in my life or in this church, that they have a list of people, and they call it, and it is one of those old-fashioned prayer chains that we say don't work. When you work it, it works. Did you know most of the things in church that we say don't work, most of them work if you work it, but you got to work it. But it is good to know that there are people out there that pray for us when we are going through things, or we're getting ready to go through things that we're not sure of, or we're, you know, I would tell you right now, this church lacks a lot of teenagers, but there's a lot of children right now in this church, and those children they do not know, but there are people that are praying for them on a daily basis. And if you have children in this church, there are people praying for your children that you don't even know. Because we love each other and we should be praying for each other, right? And I have mentioned many of the children in this church in my prayers as well. But sometimes we need to understand that when we hear someone that's, we feel like we're all alone. We're not alone. There's people that are praying for you. But he says, early in the morning, Samuel got up and he went over to meet Saul, and he was told that Saul has gone to Carmel, and there he has set up a monument in his own honor and has turned and gone down to Gilgal. And when Samuel reached him, Saul said, the Lord bless you. I carried out the Lord's instructions. And so Saul says, he sees Samuel and he says, I've carried out the instructions that you've given me, that God's given to me. And Samuel's reply was, what then is this bleating of sheep in my ears? What is the lowing of cattle that I hear? Do you know that sin has a voice? And you can't control it until you deal with it? The sins that you commit, it has a voice. Sometimes it's a very small voice. But if you are a believer in Christ, you know what the Lord, Holy Spirit does? It's a loud voice here, isn't it? We know it's our mess up. It's a loud voice here, but sometimes it gets out into the physical. There should not have been a bleating of all these sheep, all the sheep noises and all the cattle noises. And so that's what Samuel said. Why am I hearing all of this then? Because both of them knew what the instructions were.
So Saul answered, the soldiers brought them from the Amalekites, and they spared the best of the sheep and the cattle to sacrifice to the Lord your God. But we totally destroyed the rest. And Samuel said, stop. Stop. Let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night. And he tells him that, he basically tells him that the Lord says, I caught you. You didn't do what you're supposed to say. Or the king Saul didn't do what he was supposed to do. And here is his response in verse 20. Saul says, but I did obey the Lord. I did obey the Lord. I completely did everything. I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back their king and their soldiers. The soldiers took the sheep and the cattle for plunder. The best is for the sacrifices. And he just kept twisting it all up, and it was all wrong. Okay? Sometimes when God gives us instructions, we want to turn it and twist it as well. We do. Our children did that when we were raising our children. Some of you still are, but as we raised our children, we would give them instructions, and they would twist the words that we said. Because what it is basically this: I don't want to get into trouble. I just don't want to get into trouble, and I'm going to lie about it. So he lies about it. And so Samuel's going to have a word to say, because as a parent, you know, sometimes you have a word to say. You know, we always have a word to say. And it's because we love them. But Samuel has a couple of things he's going to say here, and I think these are very important. I don't know if you write things down, but these are very, very important. When it comes to hearing from the Lord, and when it comes to knowing what you're supposed to be doing, these are some really good pieces. Now, with the first part, we don't deal with this much today, but it says, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings, in verse 23, and sacrifices? We don't do sacrifices and burnt offerings now, but he says, as much as obeying the voice of the Lord. So he says this, to obey is better than sacrifice. God wants us, number one, God wants us to obey his word. When God speaks to us through his word, which is the Bible, we are to obey it. It's not up for negotiation. It's not up for discussion. We obey it. Do you know today people have negotiated that some things that are pretty basic in the Bible? The Bible says that we are to be faithful to God. Amen? But today we've changed what the word faithful means. We think faithful means attending church once a month. We think being faithful to reading God's word is when I only go to church. We think that being faithful to God is praying when we're in trouble or praying when somebody else is in trouble. We think being faithful to God is only giving when I feel like I need to give. You see, we have changed definitions of words, and it makes us continue to make ourselves feel better. But the first part is to obey. We need to obey the Lord. Hebrews 10 tells us that some are in the habit of forsaking the assembly. Some are in the habit of not worshiping, not going to church. We are to encourage each other to continue to be faithful. To obey is better than sacrifice. But he says also, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. And what he's saying is to take heed. That means to take notice of it. Pay attention to it. God's things are not things that we should throw off to the side. They're not recreational things. It's not if I think I want to. It's not if I want to. It is that I will. And not in my own power, but because God has called us to. You see, the Lord has given us a vision here. You see, there's a two-way conversation that I get when I'm out and about, and I want to share that with you for a minute, because I have a lot of peers, a lot more peers now than I did when I first started. A lot more peers. You pick up a lot more peers and a lot more pastors. Some of them are younger than you. It's kind of weird now that I was asking one of the guys. I said, man, my mentors are passing, my mentors are getting really, really old. And I said, man, what am I going to do? I need a mentor. And one of them said, I actually was talking to one of them, and he just started laughing. And he said, Jimmy, that's because you're getting to the age of that part where you are becoming a mentor, and your mentors will pass away, and then you will be taking my spot. And I was like, what? And so I just had a moment there. I didn't think I was as old as I was, and I'm getting there. So I'm like, okay. So I used to look at these guys that had this gray hair, and now I'm like, oh man, when I look in the mirror, I got a little bit too. So anyway, I'm talking to these guys, and some of them will say, I will look at them, and I'm like, man, you know, the question to me sometimes is like, you know, how do you working on church growth? You know, how I see your church is growing some. I see that you were here at 50. You guys are here at 200. How do you guys got that? And then I've had guys says, dude, he says, this is the way they talk sometimes. They just talk natural. I say, dude, listen, I'm not concerned. I'm just doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm just doing my thing. I got good people around me. But here's my question. I'm going to throw one back at you. How are you guys doing what you're doing with as few people that you have? There's a pastor over in Columbus that has 2,000 people in his church every Sunday. And I asked him, man, how did you get this? He says, no, I want this conversation. I want to know, how are you doing all of what you're doing with as few people as you have? Sometimes we look at what others are doing and we forget that God has invested so much. And it's not investing in so much of the big things as we see with our flesh. You see, you can be big in numbers and have little hearts. But you can be small in numbers and have big hearts for the Lord. And so I see that God has called us to do a great, to proceed in the mission that He has for this vision. And I believe that if we were to teeter away and drift away from what God has called us to, He would choose someone else. And when we'll get there in a moment, we'll come back to that. But not all are we all to obey the word of the Lord and His calling and His Holy Spirit. You know what you need to do. You know what you need to do. If you've been a Christian for a while, you should know the voice of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. A lot of Christians do not know the voice of the Holy Spirit. How do you get to know the voice of the Holy Spirit? Well, it's like this. It's simple. You just need to spend time with Him. Reading His Word, being faithful in what He's called us to do as normal Christians, but spend time in prayer and listening. Taking walks with the Lord. I love it when Foster Park is open on Wednesdays. I tried to take a walk with the Lord, and it is always amazing. I don't know what it is, but when you take a walk with the Lord, and driving with the Lord, I've done that a lot. I'd like that too. But when you take a walk with the Lord, it is one of the most refreshing times, I think, at least in my life. Because I leave my phone, it's just me and Him. It's me and Him. And there are times when I'm walking in there and He keeps saying my name, just like with Adam. Where are you? Where are you? And there's been many times I've been down there and He says, we haven't talked the way that we should have in the last 72 hours. You've been too much on this or too focused on that, or you begin to stress and worry about that. And so God continues to sharpen me in those areas, but God, I know His voice. I know His voice. I know when He's disappointed. I don't like that. I know when He's disappointed in me, and I don't like that. I don't like that. But also know what it's like when He just brushes up against you and you just feel His presence. And sometimes we don't say much at all, but it's just good to know to be in the presence of the Lord. I'm hoping that you can relate with that. But verse 23, He says this, for rebellion is like the sin of divination. Some of your translations today, I got the NIV, I've been doing the King James, will say witchcraft. Rebellion is doing what God's called you not to do, to be doing the opposite of what God has called you to do, to not listen, but to retaliate in some sense and just rebel. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do that. And this is exactly what Saul did. He rebelled against what God called him to do through the prophet
Samuel. And so, and here's the thing. We know that Saul has this Holy Spirit in him and the Spirit of God in him. And that knows that he's different than then. But, you know, we have Christ. All of us that are believers have the Holy Spirit. But back then, God would be able to put that into people and to pull it out how and however he wanted to do it. Just remember, God is God. Sometimes that can be a complicated subject. But we do know that Saul knew how to do right from wrong. He knew, not just being a human, this is not his mental conscience, his human conscience, but also there's a spirit that God gave him to be make those choices of right or wrong. He chose to do something different. And what happens is when you choose to do something different than God, when he specifically says something, then you are rebelling against God. Okay, so we've been, so he says, for the rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance is like the evil of adultery. Because arrogance is the flip. I'm no longer really looking at God. I'm kind of looking at myself now. And when we think God takes too long, we are tempted to take over. Okay, God, you're taking too long. Let me have the steering wheel and let me drive this thing. Arrogance. Many people say, well, you know, arrogance will turn into pride. We know that it will turn into pride. I mean, this is a slash arrogance slash pride thing. But when we have pride, we have this piece here. You say, well, you can ask anybody, do you have pride or you have pride? People that have pride, that are prideful, they're not going to admit that they're prideful. Do you understand that? People that are arrogant, I mean, there are some times that people to say, you know, I'm a little bit arrogant. I understand. I'm a little bit arrogant. I need to watch. But when people are puffed up with being proud of themselves and being prideful and who they are and what they are, those people, if they see it, they're burying it. But he says this is not something that needs to happen. This is what was going on in Saul now. He felt good. He brought the king back. He wasn't supposed to bring a king back. He brought all the cattle back. He brought all that back. He wasn't supposed to do that. And I think this is the piece that we as Christians, we begin to struggle. We struggle with this next piece. The prophet is speaking to Samuel, the prophet Samuel is speaking to Saul, telling him, you should have obeyed, you should have took heed, you should have did it, you should have did those things, you're in rebellion, you're arrogant. Okay? Prophet calls him out face to face. And the only one that could do that to a king was a prophet. And the prophet, we find out later, prophets were be like Jeremiah throwing stockades and all that stuff. This is the first king, so he's listening to the prophet, but he's not doing what the prophet told him to do, which God told him to do. So he says this, he says, because of you, because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. And so begins the downfall of King Saul. You know, everybody can lift you up. Everybody was lifting King Saul up. They were excited. Victory. We got the trophy. We got the king. We got a lot more animals now. That means more food, more sacrifices. You can make the people happy, but if you don't make, and you're not pleasing God, it doesn't really matter. Because it wasn't a mission and vision of the people. It was a mission and vision of God. And he forgot that God gave him the victory. And he is now rejected as a king. Now, he's going to stay king. But God is going to make, and I'm going to speak tonight about the transition. Doesn't always come like you think it's going to be. That's tonight. And King Saul says this. And then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. He knew, I've sinned. It's right out in the front. I've sinned. I violated the Lord's command and your instructions. Okay, it comes out. He says, I was afraid of the people, and so I gave in to them. There is the purpose of why he lied. I obeyed the Lord. But he didn't. And he got caught. And when you have sin in your life as a believer, you're going to get caught. They did things different back then, but this man here had connections with God. He had the Holy Spirit in him. He's sitting there in front of the prophet. He lies. It's kind of funny. You kind of think sometimes, you go, wow, why did those... just drew a blank. X, the couple that came in and they lied about property. Some of you guys remember the property. But anyway, about the property. And they lied about it. And they found, boom, they dropped dead right there in the moment. Boom. Because they lied about it. Here's, Saul lies about it, but God doesn't do that. But also reminded when David commits adultery and all that stuff's happening to him. And he says, I've sinned, but there's a difference. You can say that you were wrong, but if your heart is not a part of it, it's just words. Amen? You can apologize. You can say that I violated the Lord's command and his instructions, but I don't think there was really a connection there. I think Saul was one of those guys that kind of, with the pressures of being a king, I think he was a guy that kind of checked boxes off. He didn't have a heart, and we're going to find out later tonight that God chooses one that has a heart like his, that's after his. I think Saul's heart was after his own. I think Saul's heart was the fear, because he feared a lot of things. You want to know something about Saul? His whole life, when he began with this kingship thing until the end, he lived in fear constantly. Constantly lived in fear. Folks, there is a cost when we reject the voice of the Lord. There's a cost. There's always a cost. And so I go back to where I was a few minutes ago. So speaking with these pastors, and they ask, it's not a question of how we got, or how I've got to 100 to 400, or 100 to 200 members in the church. But his question was, how are you? And this is, how are you guys doing what you do with so little, but you're doing so much? And I can only come back to the part of this, I usually just point a finger up and go, it's all about him. And I think there's a truth to that. I think it is true. It's all about him. But as I got older, I've learned to understand to get in there just a little bit more and kind of become challenging. And I always remind people, don't make a vision on your own. Ask God what the vision is, or ask God what the mission is. Because not every church will do what we do. We can't do what we can't do what Pathway does in Fort Wayne with five services on Sunday. The biggest church now has become the biggest church, has passed the chapel, has passed fellowship, has passed the Assembly of God, first assembly out there on Coldwater. Pathway is the big church. There's a lot of good people. I know some people on staff out there. There's some good people out there. They have a different vision. And like I said, I believe our mission is about the Great Commission. All of us should have that. But the vision. And so I come to this place that I have to go back and listen to when I get lost, or when we kind of get in a fog and we're like, where are we at? We have to go back. What was the last thing God told us to do? What was the thing that God told us to do? What was the last voice? What was the last message? Trying to come back to God in those places. And it isn't that he's hiding. It's that we're seeking the Lord. And if you seek, I know as scripture says, you will what? You will find. If you knock, the what? The door will be open. If you ask, you will receive. That's the awesome God that we serve. Amen? He loves to connect with us. And sin and
Satan, through temptation, is always trying to have us disconnect. And there were a few times when there was a place where it looked like disconnection might happen here in New Life with some things that we're doing, but we stayed the course. We didn't listen to me. We didn't listen to the people. And that may be why people think I got some issues. I don't listen to you as much as you might think I should. And there's a part of me that says, I apologize for that. But I will not apologize over from listening to the Lord. So you that are here, trust me, not at some super high level, but you trust me as your pastor. Okay? Nothing more, nothing less. Okay? Saul should have trusted Samuel, but he did not listen. And Samuel grieved. The Lord grieved, but I believe Samuel grieved because he prayed for him all night long. And there are moments that now we see ourselves with the vision that God has given to us. Look, folks, listen. It's still building. He's still building it. Why has not God? I have friends right now. Jimmy, I'm going to be getting a one point. It looks like I'm going to get a $1.7 million gift. That's a lot of money. And I'm thankful that they are doing that because they have a great project in front of them. There are times we wrestle with our funds here. But I know God pays his bills. God secures it. If you stay focused and you stay faithful to what God has called you to do, what God has called this church to do, what he has purposed in your heart to do in your life, then you will see success in a way, not in the ways of the world, but success in the ways of God's eyes. And it's different. It is different. It is different. And he tells us that we need to obey it and we need to take heed to it. Because if we don't, then we become rebellious. We become a rebellion person or rebellion people or a rebellious church. And we become arrogant. And next thing you know, God shuts it down. You know how many churches God shuts down? God will take a cluster of people. He'll take a group of people. And many times, he will allow the dark side to come in and cause riffraff. Now, I believe the dark side looks at it as, I'm dividing. I'm going to divide this because God is not the author of division. He's not part of division. But God will take that mess. If they're not going to clean it up, they're not going to repent. He will take those people and he will scatter them. And there's a few of those that he will scatter to begin to do new ministries. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you have been there a couple of times. He'll take that and he'll scatter those people to do some ministries. The others he will scatter to get into another church, to another area where they need to learn and they need to grow up in their walk with Jesus. But there'll be those others that will be rebellious and will not do what God's called them to do. And they will live a life, listen to me, they will live a life arrogant, rebellious, and their fellowship with the Lord is very, very, very minimal. And here's what I'm getting at. At the end of your life, when you breathe your last, you will have to stand in front of God and give an account of your life. We don't think of that too much anymore, but we should think of that because we will. I don't want to be one that has violated and has not kept the Lord's commands, but one that has kept the Lord's command and his instruction. One that will follow the Lord's ways. Ones that will do, a person or church that will do what God's called them to do. You see, in this church, we see the hand of God moving on a regular basis. I believe we do. I believe we do. Some don't because we have blinders on and we don't see it. But I believe God is still doing a great thing here. And I think he has much more to do.
Does it make us better than any other church? Does it make us any other place? It just means, prayerfully, New Life Fellowship is following the ways of what God's called it and created it to be. King Saul was rejected by the Lord. God said that he grieved that he made Saul king. You know, the last time, you know, I read that, if I remember right, if I can remember my scriptures, the last time we hear that, before that, I believe it is in Genesis chapter 6, where God says, I grieve that I made man. And God had a man, family, built an ark, and he flooded the world. And all those people were destroyed. He grieved that he made Saul king. And it was messy, and the kingdom was a complete mess for the rest of his tenure. It got so bad in his life that he sought out witchcraft for an answer. And the next day he died in battle. That is a tragedy of life. But I know this. God is always doing more than we can see. God is doing more than we can see. It wasn't that just some man came up and took over the next day. But God was training a man. He was working it out. And he didn't have him living in riches in the palace. He had him in the caves and on the battlefield. I'm reminded of another person just like that, Joseph. Before he got to one spot, he had him where? He had him in the bottom of a whale pit. He also had him in the jail cell. So sometimes it looks like we have to go down before we go up. I don't think that's in all cases, but I think that's in many cases because would become arrogant. We wouldn't rely on the hand of God. We would not rely on the voice of the Holy Spirit, and we would not obey. My question for you is this. Are you doing what God has called you to do in your life? Are you becoming the person that God's created you to become? Without going deep into my story, you know that I wanted to come and become more and more and more in drugs and alcohol as undercover, and I went pretty far into it. But I was creating my own self until I took heed and obeyed what God called me to do. And the only reason I'm here today is because there was a moment in my life at a crossroads that I decided to obey and to take heed to His voice. And you know what that began with? Not saying, Lord, I'll do it. It began with repentance. It began on my knees. So I'm asking you, where are you at today with the Lord? Is it where it's supposed to be? And I wouldn't know the answer to that, but you would. Because the Holy Spirit speaks to each believer. And if you're a non-believer, you don't have a relationship with God, God continues to put it in your head that He is real. But you battle the truth in your own mind. I'm not sure if He's real. I don't know if He's real. Maybe He is. And there's your battle. And the voice of the Lord is speaking to you to obey for the first time the voice of the Lord and receive salvation. So let's stand for a moment. We'd like to give an altar call. We'd like to give an opportunity for all of us to come to a place where we can kneel and bring our expressions to the Lord and our even sometimes our messy emotions, our highs and our lows, whether we're praising Him or we're in sorrow and we're praying to Him for need, out of need. Maybe you become a little arrogant in your walk. You don't feel like you don't need anything, anyone from the church or anything of those things. You don't need to listen. Maybe you become arrogant. Maybe you come to that part where you feel like you've been rebellious in the Lord, in His callings and His doings. Or maybe you just want to come and pray for the church. Maybe you want to be like Samuel, who prayed for Saul all through the night. Maybe you want to pray for someone else in the church. If you don't have that relationship with Christ and you want that, all you have to do is grab hold of it. How you grab hold of it
I can share that with you one-on-one. I turn my mic off and we can talk about what it means to have a new life in Christ. And maybe you're at the place where you're like Saul standing there, and really your sins are all around you. The king was there, the cattle was there, the sheep were there. And then the Holy Spirit, the prophet, comes up and begins to say, "What is all this chattering I hear?" And you know it's your sin that is speaking loud in your life. And you're struggling with it because you want it to go away. And the only way to go away is to give it away and give it to Christ. Ask for forgiveness and repent, which means to turn away from it and do it no more.